morning. If you will, my reference verse this morning is going to come from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. James chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. That's going to be my reference for this discussion this morning. And if someone has it, if you don't mind, I'll get you to read that.
James. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things of the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison.
Okay. A little thing like the tongue can do so much damage. And when they speak of iniquity, they're talking about unrighteousness and the course of nature is our existence. Now all the rest of our references, rest of the verses that I'll be using will come from the book of Proverbs. My title that I have is When It Is Best Not to Open the Mouth. Again, that the tongue is such a unruly little thing. I'm sure if you've been like me, there's been some times that you have said some things that you wish you hadn't said it, and sometime later, at the time you said it, you might have meant it, but later on you thought about it and you said, well, I wish I hadn't said that, or might not have said it that way. But the Apostle James does not intend to represent this passage as a thing impossible, but as a thing extremely difficult, which therefore will require great watchfulness and pains and prayer in order to prevent the mischievous outbreakings and effects of the tongue. No man can tame the tongue without supernatural grace and assistance. Proverbs, as we've studied before, is to make decisions based on wisdom, justice, and righteousness. And in the end, finally, to guide us on how to flourish and to thrive in God's will. We've understood that as we've studied before. And we're not going to come up with everything that we can think of or know to use to look out for in a lifespan. Much of the things we learn by experience. After we did something, then we learn from experience. As the saying goes, experience is the best teacher. And from experience, it tends to stick with us a little bit longer. But that doesn't stop us from trying to be watchful and mindful to look out for things that we might can avoid doing. So I've got a few items here that I've listed and backed them up with Proverbs as to occasions that may arise when it's best not to open the mouth. The first one, when we are tempted to tell an outright lie. Now, most of the time, we don't plan on just going around telling lies. Nobody does. Of course, some people do. That's their thing. They like to start stuff, or they just say stuff anyway. But from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24, it says, put away from you a deceitful, which is devious mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. And we may tell a lie when we're joking. Sometimes we tell a lie and say it's a, oh, it's just a little white lie. Or we just say it was just a joke. And it's just for fun. We don't think about it. But one of the most damaging lies that we tell, and we don't even look at it as a lie, is when we tell our children that it's a Santa Claus. It's a Easter Bunny. Put your tooth under your pillow, and the tooth fairy is going to give you some money. And it's fun for little children. They don't know no better. The first heartache that you have growing up is finding out that it ain't no Santa Claus. Or you find out there is no Easter Bunny. Those are little, what we call a little white lies. You know, it's just, you'll grow out of it. You'll get over it. But if you start with that, then you progress to other things. And you don't mean nothing by it, but you just do it. You walk in the house and say, man, it's raining cats and dogs outside. Anybody knows no cats and dogs raining. Mm-hmm. But it is a lie. But it's just fun. What I keep going back to that because I like to keep using it just like they do with commercials. You see commercials, you keep showing the same commercials over and over, sometimes three right back to back. It's a form of brainwashing. And you may not realize it, but you'll know it. As soon as you hear the little jingle, you know what it is. It's a commercial, what commercial it is. But I like the way Jerry puts it, the devil gradually turns down the light. And we don't realize that it's getting darker. And when we use little things like telling lies for fun, you know, we didn't really mean it, it was just a joke. But if you get in the habit of doing it, you always do it. You always think it's nothing. And what's the important part is, who sees that? Who are you showing that to? They're patterning their lives behind what you do. Your friends, your children, people that you may be trying to convince to be a Christian. Like I said, it's just a joke. But it's seriousness behind it. I'm not saying that you're supposed to go around and never joke, never have fun in life, always stiffed up, puffed up, straight and narrow. I'm sure Jesus wasn't like that. I'm sure Jesus had fun while he was on earth. I don't know what he did to have fun, because the Bible doesn't tell us that. All the Bible tells us about is what he did that was part of his Father's work, because that's what's important. But I'm sure that sometimes when they were sitting around, him and the disciples, they laughed about a few things. I don't think they told lies, but I'm sure that they laughed about an incident that might have happened, because that's the nature of human beings. But if you have that on your mind, and you try not to do things like that, that you'll be better for it. And I'm not saying that you can't joke. Please don't get me wrong. And you never joke with nobody again. You never tell no jokes. Life would be very dull if we didn't have that. I'm sure God gave us that sense of humor so that we can have enjoyment. But it's also a time and a place in which you do it and a way in which you do it. But that's just one example. Another example, when we will be ashamed of our words later. From Proverbs chapter 8, Verse 8. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. That's from Proverbs 8. Can you think of any time that you might have said something that you was ashamed of it later that you said it? It happens quite often if you don't guard against it in a moment of anger, a moment of disappointment, a moment of disagreement. Those are the opportune times when the devil has a chance to jump in and take control, because you heard the saying, strike while the iron is hot. The iron be hot then. Mm-hmm. But we can always go back and apologize and say we're sorry. And it's okay. Life goes on. But it's like a piece of wood. A little small piece of wood. You can take a nail, put about 8 or 10 holes in that piece of wood. And hold it up in all these holes. He said, that's no good. Ah. So we get some wood glue or any kind of glue and glue it up. And then shellac it over, or paint it, or do something to it. And the wood looks just like it's brand new again. And it's strong. But it still had those 8 or 10 holes in it. It's still been damaged. Once you say something that you'll be ashamed about later, what damage is done is still done. Even though it's moved over, the damage is still there. Oh, and please feel free to jump in with comments and whatever anytime.
Well, see, there are many times where keeping your mouth shut is a good sign of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. That is one of the proverbs referred to that.
Just turn it around.
Yeah.
Keeping your mouth shut is, on many occasions, a good sign of wisdom.
Yes. Yes, it is. Another one. When it is time to listen. Proverbs 13. In verse 1, a wise son heeds his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. How can those men of fault who would not be told of it, but count those their enemies who do them their kindness? Their kindness is to try to correct them or let them know that they did or said something. Correct them in a way in which they messed up. Nobody likes to be corrected. Reprimanded, I think they call it. Just told that they're wrong. Nobody likes that. But it's a way in which we're supposed to go about doing it. And the wise person takes that as constructive criticism, and they are the better for it. But what they call the scoffer, he doesn't want to hear any correction. He doesn't want to do anything but cause confusion. And if a person won't listen to you, then there's no way that you can help them. There's also a scripture, I should have wrote that one down, but about being wise in your own mind. You can't know it all. Nobody can know it all. From the time that you first learn to walk and talk and learn words, it's a learning process from then on until the day we close our eyes for the last time. And you still will not ever know it all. There's always going to be somebody know a little bit more and somebody know a little bit less. And there's always somebody that you can help by telling them something. It might save them from a heartache or a pitfall or save them from agony or losing money or hurting themselves or whatever. But only if you listen. When I was younger, there was a lady who used to keep us kids. And you know how kids do. We get around, we playing, we wrestling, we tussling. You know, it's always playing until somebody get mad and then it's fighting, you know. But she told us, y'all stop that tussling. That was the word that she used. Y'all stop that tussling or that. Oh, we just playing. Kept on playing. And it was me that seemed like all the guys was on top of me. You ever hear this saying, when you get scared, you get strength from nowhere? I don't know where I got the strength from. All of a sudden, I felt like a hawk. I go, came up out of there. My best friend, his arm got pulled out of socket. That thing messed with me some kind of bad. Because he had just told us, stop playing. We wouldn't listen. We didn't want to listen. Then he got hurt. I felt like it was my fault. I mean, you know, in time, we got over it. But after that, he didn't tell me no more about playing. I didn't play anymore. You know, that was enough for me. But, as I said, wise man will learn from other people's experience and listen, take heed. Whereas sometimes we have to find out the hard way. Another time, it's best to not open the mouth. I just finished talking about it, when tempted to joke about sin. From Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. Wicked people are hardened in their wickedness. They make a laughing matter of the sins of others. They make a light matter of their own sin. Both when they are tempted to sin and when they have committed it. They care not what mischief they do by their sins, and they laugh at those that tell them of it. They are upholders for sin and are ingenious at framing excuses for it. The righteous, if they in anything offend, the righteous, if they are in anything offend, they presently repent and obtain the favor of God. I don't think I wrote that right, but what I meant by that is, a righteous person, if they offend someone, then they're going to immediately repent for it and try to get it right. Whereas a person that laughs at sin or don't think nothing of it, they're going to keep on doing it, they don't care. And we see people like that sometimes. They're set in their own ways. You can't talk to them about doing the right thing because they don't want to hear it. Some people, you try to tell them anything about God, I don't want to hear that. Don't come talk to me about no church. Don't come talk to me about God. The devil's got them. I'm not saying they're hopeless. As I said before, it's a time and a place for everything. At that particular time, it may not be the time to talk to them. You ever notice when you go to a funeral, the different people that come in to a funeral, whether it's the wake or it's the actual funeral? Some people come in look at them and you think to yourself, they must go to church somewhere. Some people, you look at them and you say, they never set foot in a church up until now. But it's amazing that some people don't go to church, don't want to hear nothing about God. But if it's someone that's close to them passed, they will honor them by coming to church or going to a funeral home, which is like going to church for them. I wonder why is that? They don't want to hear nothing about God, but they'll take their time. Even if they don't do nothing but just show up, go up and view the body, and then leave. If they didn't really want to hear anything or know anything about church or want to deal with God in any kind of way, I don't even think they would take the time to even show their respect. That's just my opinion.
It's funny how everybody thinks they're going to heaven.
Don't nobody want that. That's true. But yeah, they do.
Yeah, all like preaching. Preaching a funeral, whoever's preaching a funeral, they just assume that this person is going to heaven. Everybody's not going to heaven.
Right.
And then, especially you know that person, you know that person was bad. And you preaching that, oh, you up there with God, man. You go, I'm like, oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I even with some of my family members,
mm-hmm.
I know y'all was bad, so why are they preaching up there talking about you going to hell?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the preacher didn't even know you.
Right.
So, you know, how are you saying that?
Because this is an emotional, sensitive time in people's lives. At that particular time.
Too late,
huh?
Too late for some.
Yeah, it is. It's too late for the one that's, as I said, laid out. It's too late for them. But you got the family and you got friends, you know, they're going to come. Like I said, the one that comes in and never goes to church, but it came in just to show their respect.
Yeah.
You know?
Even more reason you should preach the truth.
Right. Yes. I'm not saying you shouldn't.
Right.
I'm not saying you shouldn't. But what I'm saying is that's what they are doing at that particular time, because they are trying to comfort those that are there at that particular time.
True.
Now, picture in your mind what it would be like if you went to the funeral and the preacher got up there and he goes, we're here today, pay our last respects to Joe Blow here. Y'all know Joe Blow. He wasn't good for nothing. You know, every time you see him, he was out there in the street. He owed me $10. and I'm sorry that he's gone, but, you know, I dare say that we was in a better place without him. You'll be sitting there, what? You know, no, he didn't. You see, you can't do that, but yes.
Yeah, if you want the preacher to give some words of hope to the people that's sitting there listening.
Comfort. Yes, comfort, hope.
Joe Blow didn't do the same thing, but
everybody that's there, they know him. They know him one way or another, you know. To somebody, he may have been a good person.
Yeah.
To somebody, he wasn't. To the guy that don't go to church, but came in, he was something to him because obviously he wouldn't have showed up. But the job of the preacher, and if there is no preacher, maybe at a funeral home and the funeral people, whoever's got to get up and say something, they still have to say something to try to give hope, give comfort, say what is presentable, what is best, and thank people for coming. And everybody already knew what kind of person they were. You know, I've often heard them say, it's not the date that they were born or the date that they passed, it's the little dash in between. That's what matters a whole lot, because that's how you live your life. And I've seen funerals where the church was so packed they can't even get enough seats in there. A lot of people know. Again, been to funerals where there wasn't but a few. Not even some family members, you know. Yes.
I also went to a funeral. There could have been one. Not that I remember that on there. Well, the minister said, I'm not preaching this person's funeral because they already preached their funeral while they were here. You already preaching your funeral. You're already preaching your funeral. But he said, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to tell you what to do to try to get right. So that was the right thing to do. Because what could he say about this person? You knew this person.
Right.
So what can I say?
That's right. That's the time, that's a good time to open the mouth.
That's it.
You know, to try to save those that are here and still bring comfort and let them know it's not too late yet for y'all. And take that opportunity. But we never, I've never been to a funeral like that. I heard nobody said it was kind of weird. I doubt I ever will. And like I said, I would probably sit there too long. No, he didn't say that. You know, it would be something. Another time, not to open the mouth. In the heat of anger. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. A character of an angry man is pitiable, deserving pity. Through the surprise of a temptation, he disturbs and disgraces himself. But it is soon over. And he is sorry for it. But that of a spiteful, revengeful man is hateful. There is no fence against him, nor cure for him. Some people. Oh, I'm sorry.
What was that one?
That was in the heat of anger. The verse was from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17. Yes.
In the heat of
anger.
Okay.
Yes. And we know, as we said, we started out with, a lot of things can be said and done in the moment of anger. As I use that example of strike when the iron is hot. That's the time when you both need to go and sit down somewhere and get your thoughts together. Because 9 times out of 10, you're going to say or do something that you're going to regret later, that you had to repent for. And why? Because the devil sees an opportune time to get to you. Your guard is a little bit lower at that time because you're a little bit upset. And so he puts things in your mind, he tempts you with doing things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. You have control, you have restraint, you try to keep yourself, your composure. Even though someone gets you upset, you pray for them, you pray for yourself, you let it slide, you just turn the other cheek, as we are told to do. But the devil keeps saying, you need to say something, you need to do something, you need to get back at them, don't let them get away. The Lord said the revenge, I can't say it. Vengeance, yes. That's I had a part of it where I could get it right. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. But we want to help him, you know. Lord, you take care of where to get up there, but I'm going to handle it right now, you know. And we want to fix that. But we can't. We have to do what the Lord wants us to do and show by example what we should do. This is a good one. When we are supposed to be working, instead, we want to sit around and talk, open the mouth. Proverbs 14, verse 23. In all labor, there is profit, but idle chatter, talk of the lips, leads only to poverty. I was looking at a show one time. Y'all might have seen it if you watched this show. It was the show with, I can't think of the name of it now, the one with Archie Bunker.
All the family.
He talked about this guy that was on the job with him. He said, a man don't never do no work. When it comes time to work, all he do is stand around and tell jokes. You know, everybody laughing, but they working, and he just telling jokes. And if you've been on a job, you probably have experienced something like this sometime or another. Some people, they know how to duck work. You know, they'll do anything to keep from working. And if you're telling jokes or talking about something with guys, the first thing we talk about is, man, you see that game last night? You know, get off on that. I don't know what y'all women talk about, but, you know. But it's a human thing. Hardworking people are generally growing and successful people. And where there is something done, there is something to be had. The stirring hand gets a penny. Those under pretense of improving themselves by conversation neglect the work. Of their place and day.
It's also followed up where it says that where there are many words, sin abounds.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If somebody that talks enough, they're going to put some lives in there.
Yes, they will. But they will say too much. They waste what they have, and the course they take leads to poverty. Likewise, in the affairs of our souls, those that take pains in the service of God, that strive earnestly in prayer, will find profit in it. But if men's religion runs all out in talk and noise, and their praying is only the labor of the lips, they will be spiritually poor and come to nothing. That can happen. It does happen. It will happen. But that's something we can guard against and try our best not to let it happen to us. And one more I have. If words would damage someone's reputation, Proverbs 16, verse 27. An ungodly man, a man of belial, that's B-E-L-I-A-L. That was a word that was they used to describe the devil. A name for the devil. Digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. There are those that are spiteful and mischievous to others, such as envy a man the honor of his good name, such as envy a man the comfort of his friendship. They do all they can to dig up evil, to find out something or another on which to ground a slander, or if none appear, they will spread rumors and speculations that reflects negativity on a person's character or reputation. They do all they can to break their friendship or bond by suggesting on both sides that which we call conflict and quarreling or strife. And I'm sure if you live long enough, you've met people just like that. They jealous for no reason. I mean, they could have the same thing. They could be like the same person that they envy. But for some reason, they just despise the person because they have friends. You know, because they're good people. It's like, I just don't believe they're that good. I'm going to find out something about them. I'm going to do something. And with us, because we are Christians, we got this big target on our back of being a Christian. There's always going to be somebody out there that wants to do something to make us look bad. You got to make us go off, argue, fuss, cuss, swear, anything, so they can say, I thought you was a Christian. See, I knew you wasn't a Christian. You ain't no better than I am. We're not trying to be no better than somebody else. We're just trying to follow Christ's example and do what he would have us to do. Because we know where we want to spend eternity. And we want to help others find that grace and be able to get there also. And it's still a choice. You know, it's not like, come here, you're going to be a Christian today. You know, we're not making nobody be a Christian. We're trying our best. It's hard enough job for us, really. But some people just, you're just too good. I just don't believe they're that good. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to get something from you just to see if you're going to give it to them. You didn't give it to them. See, I know you ain't no Christian. You're always trying to do something, or because you got friends, you got too many friends. Gonna break up that friendship because they're just too good. And in some cases, it could be male friends or female friends, or it could be friends of the, not friends, but a union, a bond between a man and a woman that somebody else is envious of, and they want to break them up because they get along too good together as a couple. You know, I don't never see them argue. They always lovey-dovey. Ain't that much love in the world nowhere. Just can't be happy with that. And they do stuff to break them up. Or try to. Have to be on our guard for that. There would always be an opportunity to open the mouth. And if the tongue is a fire, remember, only you can prevent a forest fire.
Amen.
That's my lesson. Thank y'all for your participation.